This is Galen Joseph Hunter, and I am here in the studio with artist and frequent Wave Farm collaborator and friend Zach Poff. And Zach is behind Pond Station, which is an installation in a pond here at Wave Farm that reveals the sounds from within the pond and audible through the pond via a online web stream. And you, our listeners, can tune in anytime, sunrise through about an hour after sunset, by going to wavefarm.org/listen, and you'll see a play button for Pond Station there. So hi, Zach.
Hi, Galen.
So this is a little interview because you have just spent several days on site making some improvements. But before we talk about what improvements you've made over the last 90-something hours, solid, without any break, let's review, very quickly go back and review the trajectory, the timeline of the project.
Yeah, so I think it started in 2015, and originally it was a simple FM transmitter on a bamboo stick with some hydrophones that go down into the bottom of the pond, and the idea was just to very kind of quickly figure out if we could establish some kind of communication, solar-powered, long-term, relatively unattended, so we could experience what it must sound like underneath of the water. Because on a pond like the one here at the Wave Farm, the top of the pond can seem like there's hardly any activity. On a day that doesn't have a lot of wind or rain or something like that, the pond is a relatively still place. You can see fish jumping now and then, but it has this sort of serenity to it. But actually under the surface, especially down in the mud, like at the muck at the bottom of the pond, there's a tremendous amount of biodiversity down there. So there's bacteria creating gas bubbles. There's plants and things that are respirating. All kinds of little creatures making crazy sounds. And so it was really enticing to listen to that when we first got it set up in 2015. That was with my collaborator, Nate Aldrich. We had a residency here at Wave Farm. But technically, the thing didn't ever quite work up to snuff. It was just like the FM transmitter didn't quite have the power to get all the way up here to the study center, which is one of the goals, to be able to hear these sounds both right on the edge of the pond, but also at a faraway distance. So over time, we've managed to get that figured out into greater and greater degrees. So later, I came back and did another residency where I put into place more or less what we have today, which is a solar-powered platform that floats. It's anchored to the pond, but it's floating on the top of the pond. And it has a 5.8 gigahertz analog transmitter that's pointed up here to the study center where we're sitting right now, and then there's a receiver here that pulls down that stereo feed from the hydrophones, and then there's a little Raspberry Pi computer that has a web stream software on it from the kind folks at locussonus.org, and that goes up to their sound map and is available also on the stream at WGXC and Wave Farm. So that way, you have this like tremendous sensitivity to these tiny little events that are happening under the surface, and it can traverse these really incredible distances. You know, so you know, I'll be out of the country or something, and I'll just tune in, and if it's during the time that the sun is shining here in Acre, New York, I can hear these tiny, tiny little micro details.
And we had an alarmed listener contact us last week from London because the feed was down, I think, kind of in preparation for your work this weekend. And they were very alarmed because evidently Pond Station is part of a daily soundtrack for this individual.
Yeah. So. Which is a big part of, I mean, for me, it was a big part of making the piece. It's like, how do you take something that's so local and so specific and so tiny, really, and just get that out to the broadest number of people? And it's also useful, hopefully, to residents here, you know, because I'm 3 hours away. So part of it is like, so I can hear it too, so I can make something that both lives here and provides me with sort of insight without having to travel 3 hours. But also that it should be a resource for folks who visit here, there are, you know, so many resident artists come through here, and a couple of them have done really interesting kind of collaborative things that use the sounds of Pond Station in their work. And now, you know, we find because of the web stream that unexpected things happen in other parts of the world too, where people suddenly realize that this is there. It's also usually part of Reveille, which every end of April, beginning of May, on
first Saturday in May. So this year it's May 6th. Yeah.
So it's International Dawn Chorus Day also, which a lot of the birder people in the world are very interested in, because it's a day where people have all kinds of events and things where they pay special attention to the sounds just as the sun is rising, which is when bird activity especially is at its peak during the day. And so alongside that day, Reveille has grown up as a sort of response to that. And the idea is that it's 24 hours of daybreak. So across the entire world, starting in a time zone near London, I believe, live web streamers from all over the globe are batched into different time zones. And as the sun is rising in each of those time zones, this specific web stream that is Reveille is following them around as the sun follows them around throughout as the sun moves. And it's organized by Maria Papadamalaki and Grant Smith in London. And they've done some really good writing about it, and it's really amazing. They're part of this group called Sound Camp, which organizes this Reveille thing every year. And they managed to pull together, I don't know how many streamers, right? Web streamers, many of whom are using this Locus Sonus platform.
Where's that server based? Is it in France?
Yeah. Yeah. The server's in France. The research group is in, the actual Locus Sonus team is in France, but I think it's a British-French collaboration of some kind. I'm not super sure about who's in charge of what.
When we give tours here, we always stop at the Pond Station and we play the live web stream, and then we shout to the Pond Station and wait the whatever 20 seconds it is sometimes to hear the live results that prove the liveness of it. But then we often explain it's the distance that the signal is traveling to the server location. So,
absolutely. Yeah. It's bouncing all around the world to get from the pond to your hand, 20 feet away from the hydrophones.
Exactly.
It's a very...
So in 2015, you installed the more substantial and functioning version of Pond Station, and then in 2016, you added a light component, right?
Yeah. So as I've described it so far, it's just a platform for hearing these underwater sounds through a hydrophone and then transmitting those. But while I was here, actually, during a previous time here, I was experimenting with translating flickering light into sound, vibrations in light that are flickering at audible frequencies can be made audible by just a very simple, essentially like a miniature solar cell hooked up to a mic input. And I'm far from the first to be experimenting with this, but it's something that usually I've heard done in urban environments, because man-made sound or man-made lighting is almost always modulated somehow. It tends to be flickering lighting, even though it's flickering faster than we can see, because our eyes are remarkably slow compared to our ears. So as you walk around in an urban landscape, or in any place with artificial lights, you're probably going to hear a whole lot of buzzing and whining and interesting drones as you translate those flickerings into their equivalent in sound. And so, kind of just on a lark out of curiosity, I was just walking around the pond trying to think, like, well, would shimmering leaves through a telescope maybe have another sort of sound pattern? Could I hear the sort of flicker of light bouncing off of whatever, the surface of the water, things like that? And for the most part, those things did produce sound, but a lot of it was sort of infrasound. It was so low, it didn't change fast enough to be audible. So I could see it on the meters, and I could speed it up later or something, but that was it. So while I was playing with this, suddenly I heard the sounds of flies and mosquitoes in my headphones, which I assumed at the time was acoustic. I just figured, I just walked through an area that had a whole lot of bug activity. So I took the headphones off for a second, the sound went away. And then I put the headphones back on, and the sound came back. And then I pointed the light listener that I had built at my feet, and it stopped. And I pointed it back at the pond, and it started. But there was nothing visible on the surface of the pond that I could use to explain what I was hearing. So after some more observation, I realized that what I was really hearing is just the glinting of sunlight off of the wings of the flying insects. And it's way too fast for me to even experience that visually at all. It's utterly invisible to me. But through my ears, I can hear those fast vibrations. And it has this sort of incredible murmuring quality. It's almost like a human vocal quality, because you're hearing this collapsed distance. You're hearing everything in your field of view, which could be thousands of insects, some of whom are sharply focused, some of whom are flying right in front of you, and they all have a different kind of signature. So when you put them together, you get this ebbing and flowing trend of information that sounds... It sounds like shortwave that's out of tune, and you're just trying to pull like a voice out of static. And other times it sounds just like a totally normal sound like you'd make with a microphone of a fly buzzing around the mic. And so I figured that's another kind of activity that would be very interesting to bring into the Pond Station feed, so it's shareable with people, because it was like a total fluke that I was hoping I could reproduce again. And it works. So right now, Pond Station, at night, when the sun falls below a certain threshold, there are lights built into Pond Station, and the lights attract insects, and then there are little light listener devices that listen for those wing beats and things, and that gets mixed together with the hydrophone signal. So for about an hour and a half after dark, that's what you hear, you know, when Pond Station is broadcasting.
And then just this weekend, the 2017 updates. it's wonderful that we're able to continue working so closely. And I mean, Pond Station has been such a catalyst for other installations on the property. And it's been wonderfully reliable and really achieved what we hope every installation will here, which is being a really interesting and successful standalone work of art, and then also being something that's interactive and available to visiting artists. So thank you for that. But tell our listeners what has transpired over the last few days.
Yeah, so a couple things. That there's a lot of under-the-hood improvements. After a couple winters, the Pond Station being outside 24 hours a day has seen its share of weathering. So one example would be the solar panels, which are the heart of the whole thing to keep it running. Those solar panels had really aged because I was using ones that are relatively inexpensive and have a resin encapsulant. So, you know, all silicon solar cells, they need to be protected from the elements because they don't work once they get contaminated with a lot of oxygen. And so... The cells that were originally used, the panels we originally used, were resin covered, and the UV eventually took them apart. So it's sort of similar to how you see a little solar garden lights, where over a couple of years they'll start to get this like white haze all over them, which is just the resin falling apart because of the UV exposure. And so the way to avoid it is to have proper glass encapsulated panels like you would put on a roof. And so Wavefarm was kind enough to make that happen. And so now there are much more professional panels on Pond Station that should last for, you know, 20 years. They're warrantied and everything. So that's a real big help, because Pond Station also transmits telemetry, mostly for me, so that I can see from home whether it's charging, what the sort of graph of sunlight is over time compared to the performance of the transmitter. And I noticed in the last couple months that the solar panels were just not charging the battery the way that they should. And so now that's completely back up to snuff. So the solar panels will make that thing much more reliable, so it won't cut in and out, especially in the winter when there's not a whole lot of sun to be had. And then the other big change is... because Pond Station's transmitter to get from the pond to here at the study center is an analog transmission. When it turns off at night, which it does every single night, there are many hours of just horrible static in the web stream, which is painful. So that was just one of those things that I had to deal with at the time. But I figured out a way for the receiver, the PondStation receiver, to sense whether or not the transmitter is on, and now it mutes the output at night, and it replaces it with basically a little interval signal, you know, which is like in sort of broadcast history, the interval signal is a series of tones or an announcement or something that indicates when programs are about to start or when they've ended, especially in shortwave, where you have different broadcasters share the same frequencies on shortwave based on their schedules. So if you tune in to a certain frequency, you might not know who it is that's broadcasting. And so the interval signals traditionally are a way of saying this program is about to start. So for maybe 10 minutes before, as they're warming up the transmitter, they'll play a series of tones or chimes or something. Or sometimes it's just music, like a certain piece of music that's been chosen to be like characteristic of that station.
So what's the pond? I haven't heard it yet. What's the pond station?
I know. You'll have to wait till tonight. When it turns off.
Okay. All right.
It's just a little announcement and a couple of chimes on these tubular bells that are right here in the studio behind us.
Oh, the Dick Higgins orchestral chimes. That's awesome.
Yep.
Yay.
So I worked them into it.
Excellent.
I figured it would make sense.
Excellent. we're thrilled to have the new and improved pond station back in action. I'll repeat that listeners can tune in to it from daybreak to about an hour and a half after sundown at wavefarm.org/listen. And then on your website, Zach, there's tons of information about Pond Station, right?
Yeah. I have a full write-up on the website and some kind of best of sound clips. You know, being an installation that runs all day in different seasons, it's been very interesting to see what those trends are over different periods of time, different amounts of sun. I mean, the sun is really responsible for most of the activity that's under there. So it changes considerably. So there could be a week could go by where nothing terribly interesting seems to happen. And then there'll be a certain, you know, explosion of life for whatever reason. And then things can get very interesting. Like last night, there was a sudden rainstorm, and I didn't have everything totally set up yet. But I was able to get off a recording. So I've got like a 10-minute recording of the rain on the pond, which sounds completely different than it sounds above and totally different than a typical day. So okay. I've collected a bunch of those recordings, and I have some more that I need to post, which I'll do shortly.
And that's zachpoff.com?
Zachpoff.com is ZACHPOFF.com.
And under projects, you'll find Pond Station. All right. Well, thanks for bringing us up to date, and I can't wait to listen tonight.
Thanks for having me.
And forever, for the next 20 years. All right. Thanks, Zach.